How many people got something new for Christmas? Yeah, I don't know what it was. I'm excited for you. You see, I'm a grandpa, and we just kind of get stuff. You know, I told my kids, I said, listen, I've got socks from last year. You know, could you just kind of stop this stuff? Just give me money or something, you know. That didn't even work. So Debbie and I said, you know what, we need to start a retail store called The Distributors. That's about all that we do, but that's all we want to do. But new things are awesome, and that's what we want to talk about today. I want you to join me in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. It's in the Bible. You guys remember the Bible, don't you? Yeah, okay, yeah, it's in the Bible. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verses 15 through 19. This is what the Lord said. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. But he says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. These are the words that are spoken by God. This is God talking to his people. There's something about the person who is speaking, if they have credibility, if they have a substance, if they have some history there, if they have a place in your life, then you listen to those words. A stranger, somebody that you know, their comments have been iffy and wishy-washy, and maybe they ran for president. You know, you just don't want to listen to any more than the things that they have to say. They're one thing one day and then the other. But God is a whole different thing. God is speaking. It's not somebody who has this half-full, half-empty, optimistic mentality. It is God, and he is speaking a path of faith for the Israelites. Now, you got to just kind of put yourself in this situation for a second, and it's so hard because none of us have ever come close to experiencing what the Israelites were experiencing at this point. 70 years of captivity. Many of you are not even 70 years old. But 70 years, you've been taken out of your homeland, you've been in captivity, you've been removed, you've been under foreign rule, if you will. You've never felt the freedom. There's a whole lot of things that you aren't experiencing. In this 70 years of captivity, God says, I'm going to bring you out of that into liberty and redemption. Now, it's really cool when you leave something. You go from something to something. I mean, that's where we're talking about here. It's a transition. It's a transformation. It's going from here to here. If anybody's ever done something fantastic, you're really proud of. Maybe it's a physical accomplishment. Maybe something you've built. Maybe it's some weight that you lost. Let's go ahead and talk about the New Year stuff, okay? Maybe it's something you want to acquire. Maybe it's a job that you've worked hard to get. Maybe it's a salary. Maybe you've tried to save up some money so you can take your family on a cruise and put it on Facebook so everybody can go, great, we don't give a rip. Just go, I'm sorry. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Yeah. Did you go? Are you going to go? Never mind. It's just incredible how these things, but you know, you go from this to that. And I don't know how to create that expectation, that excitement, that enthusiasm that you have for that in your heart. But this is what got it. God shows up and he begins to tell these people this thing. And what a contrast from captivity to freedom. Not only was it just physical freedom, it was spiritual freedom. Listen, that's on everybody's wish list. Everybody's wish list. God is calling his people out of the old into the new. And that's real difficult to do. The older we get, the more easy it is to just settle for everything that's been because it's what has always been and never look for the new. I'm telling you, there comes a time in your life when you just think this is the way it's always going to be. I'm always going to be single. I'm always going to be unhappy. I'm always going to be at this salary. We're always going to be right here. This is the way it's always going to be. And you settle for that. It's a horrible thing to settle for anything unless God says this is where I want you to be. Sometimes God says settle, sit, be right here. But most of the time, God has said, we're moving. God is on the move constantly. We're the ones that are always dragging an anchor. And here's what he's saying to his people. Listen, I'm going to take you out of the old into the new. He's calling them those things that are not as if they are. Here's the cool thing about God. As far as he is concerned, it's already a done deal. Now listen, I know it's easy to tie this in with a New Year's type emphasis, but it doesn't matter if it's in the middle of July and we're sweating. We need to understand that God is always wanting to do something new in our life. Something new, something fantastic. It may be measured in, you know, like inches or feet or yards or miles. I don't know. Sometimes it's a huge leap. Sometimes it's just a very little small change. But God is always doing something. Then he uses this word, behold. I am going to do a new thing. That word behold literally means to stand in awe and be amazed. It's not just the introduction to what he's saying. Behold. I don't know what we would use in the English language. I mean, we just kind of get excited. Go, hey, look at this. Listen to me. You know, I don't know. We just kind of get a little animated. Our voice gets up, whatever. But God has this incredible word called behold. It means stand amazed and be in awe. Now, that kind of puts it on a spiritual realm, doesn't it? Is there a whole lot that surprises you anymore? Is there any more wow and bang and any, not a whole lot? You know, and if it is, it's so short-lived. Because, you know, we don't live in here today and gone tomorrow. We live in here today, gone today. Our world is changing so much that nothing's no big deal anymore. We don't cherish things anymore because they're not that important. We're always looking for something brand new. I just saw something the other day. I was watching an interview, and the guy was talking about the new generation, talking about the generation of young people we have now. And you got to be careful how you listen to these things because it's not critical. He's just saying, listen, we live in this area with all this technology that we're more married and more relational with our phones than anything else. Listen, if you put your phone by your bed, he said, you know, because, you know, you're there because you need to charge it, use it as an alarm clock. He said, you know what? You need to go out and buy an alarm clock. It's only $8. He said, put your phone and let it charge in another room. He said, because in the middle of the night, if you wake up, how many of you grab your phone to see what's going on? In the middle of the night, for crying out loud. We have a relationship with our phone. When was the last time you woke up in the middle of the night and said, I wonder what's going on with God? I wonder what new something God has to say. No, we're tied to our phone like that. We go to meetings and everybody has their phone. He said, what we ought to do is just take the phones and put them away. He said, because you can't have a relationship while you're always worried about what's going on in that phone. Isn't it amazing? Just one little piece of technology, fabulous piece of technology, but it's destroying relationships. And guess who's on the top of the list? God. Now, we can say, oh, we look up there, we get our devotional off of that. I understand that. But too often, we're more married to the technology that brings us that message than we are the person who gave the message. And we got to be careful. Behold, he says, stand in awe and be amazed. This is what he says. First of all, God declares who he is. He says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. He says, I am fixing to make a statement, but I want you to know who's making this statement. It is me, your God, your Creator. Next, he reminds his people of his resume. Not only am I the Lord, he said, but here's where I've come. I make a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. I bring forth the chariot and the horse and the army and the power. You know, it's one thing to say, I want to speak, but then when you say, I want to speak, and here's why. Because I have credibility. This is what I've done. This is where I've been. You know, no offense to Caleb, who will leave tomorrow to go back to North Carolina and join, you know, his platoon group, whatever, those other army guys. What do we call you? Yeah. I bet he will find out who he is by the time he gets back. I just have a feeling he'll know exactly who he is, all right? But it's amazing how these things go when we look at that and begin to understand that you know, no offense, Caleb, but, you know, Caleb could say a lot about the army right now, but he hasn't been in there enough. He doesn't have the credibility. He doesn't have the track record to say a whole lot. And I don't mean that the way it sounds. I really don't. Because one day he will. He'll have an experience. He'll have years of experience. He'll say, this is where I've been. This is what I've done. Many of you have been in the military. You have something to say because you've been there and you've done that. And our God is saying, I have something to tell you. Behold, just stand amazed and listen and be in awe of what I'm going to say because this is who I am. But this is what I've done. He's looking at his resume and presenting it before he says something. Then he says, here's the instructions he gives, not to just the Israelites, but to us as always. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. God doesn't say trash your past, but he's saying, listen, don't let the things of the past dictate what will be your future. They can be great indicators. They can be wonderful memories. They can be motivational. They can be inspirational. You can look back and go, wasn't that a great time? But don't let that statement keep you in the past. Only let it set the foundation for where we're going. Too often we want to look back, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know what? Because we have 20/20 vision with what's back there. But you know what else is back there? It's not only the great things that have happened, but the horrible things that have happened. Satan wants you to live in the past. He wants you to remember those great revivals because, you know, that was then and there, but it ain't happening now. He wants you to remember all of the things that you did and the failures you had because that's where you were, and he wants you to stick there. But God says, I want to go forward. I want to do something dynamic in your life. Don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. And now, here's the actions that God is taking on our behalf. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I love what this simple little word says, shall you not know it? Too often we go, is God doing anything? What does God want to do? Where is God? I understand those questions. A lot of times we ask those, it's not because we're questioning God. It's not because we're blaming God. We're just trying to figure out some of the confusion and some of the things that we have. The dilemma, the problems in my health, the issues in my family, the lack of funds, the confusion, our economy, on and on and on, all of these things. The horrible things that are happening in the Middle East. That's what we're asking. We're not blaming God. We're just wanting some clarification. But he says, you know what? You're going to know it. You're going to know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, that doesn't mean anything to us except for you got to understand there's a wilderness out there. And I don't know how thick the woods if you've ever been in, but I grew up in Alabama and everything just grows together. I can remember one summer, my dad, I guess he was just bored. He said, hey, we're going to go down there. We're going to clean this part of our land out. And we went down there. We didn't have weeders and we didn't have power tools. And we had sling blades. And we had axes and hatchets and stuff like that. Yeah, poor, bless my heart. I'm still a little bitter and upset about it. But anyway, we went down there, and we worked all summer long. And you know what? We didn't do anything with it. I thought, what is my dad doing? We didn't do anything with it. But at the same time, I remember how hard it was to just clear all of that out. It was just crazy. And I thought, come on, Dad, but I understand what a wilderness is. At least my impression of it. We worked hard. It was everywhere. We had honeysuckle. We had stuff growing everywhere. Anybody know what kudzu is? Yeah, it's of the devil. That's what it is. And it grows in Alabama in crops. It's a crop, for crying out loud. So I know what a wilderness is. Hey, a desert? We know what a desert is. You know what he says? I am going to put rivers in the desert. Let me rephrase it. I'm going to put rivers in your desert. The dry, parched, cracking, it's so abandoned by moisture, places in your life, I'm going to put a river. Isn't that cool that God would do that? So why did God say this? Well, logic says they've been in captivity for 70 years. They need to be rescued. They need to be freed. They need somebody to come by and take care of them. Isn't that a no-brainer? But here's the cool thing when you look beyond that. It's because this is the character of who God is. He is our Redeemer. God doesn't want us to just make it through some of those things. He wants to be our Redeemer and bring us out of those things. God wants to supply our need. It is, again, him showing his commitment to us. Now, we talk about faithfulness in the church, which we should. But, man, sometimes we worry about our faithfulness. Am I faithful to church? Do I show up at the meetings? Do I come to church? Do I sing in the worship songs? Am I in a discipleship program? Do I have a devotional life? That's faithfulness to God. Sometimes we forget how faithful he is to us. I mean, God is always there. He's always there. And this is the way that he's doing this. It's because it's his character. And here's where you and I come into this. This is really cool. In the same breath, he's basically announcing and setting the pace for the day when Jesus Christ would come, born of a virgin, which we celebrated just a week ago, would walk this earth, would teach, live among us. He did many good things, and he healed a lot of people. But the Bible says, for that we killed him. But he died on the cross for your sins and my sins and for my life and for your life and for my future and for your future. That's what he did. And then he rose from the dead after they buried him, after he brought him off the cross. He ascended into heaven, and that's what this wonderful thing is. This is called the grace of the gospel. So what do we take out of this great message out of the Old Testament, this incredible scripture. Well, let me just give you a couple things real quick. Number one, remember the declaration. Write it down somewhere, please. Behold, I am doing a new thing. God says, I don't want to give you a bump. I don't want to give you a pat on the back. I don't want to do something to make you feel good for a little bit. This isn't a great meal that'll go away. This is something I want to do, a new thing in you, and it's going to be constant. It's going to be fabulous. Now, here's the thing I want you to do. I don't want you to just be looking for the good thing. I want you to stand in awe and be amazed at what I'm doing. Well, God, don't you have to do something so dynamic that it blows me away? Aren't you talking about something almost like an explosion, you know, that just kind of rocks me off my feet? Hey, have any of you felt it, an earthquake? I'm sorry, this is a horrible confession. But the first earthquake I felt, I'm in my living room, and I hear something. A boom, I'm going, uh-oh, something just blew up, transformer, whatever. And then I felt this rumble. I went, cool, that was an earthquake. And then all of a sudden I went, no, that's not cool at all. Earthquakes are not cool. It's kind of like tornadoes. I don't stand at tornadoes and go, wow, isn't that cool? Look at the clouds. No, I go, I'm not cool with tornadoes. Already, lightning and thunder, I don't like that stuff. It scares me. But what God is saying, listen, stand in awe because I am going to do this new thing. I'm not going to be just a little thing. It's going to be big. And you know what? Here's the cool thing. It may not be big to anybody else. It may not be big to anybody else. You ever read a little scripture and it just so blesses you, literally turns you, just reduces you to tears. And you go to somebody and say, listen, look at what I read today. They go, yeah, that's kind of cool. You know why? Because it didn't impact them. It's not about so big that everybody's blown away. It's about that it's big to you. Most of the things that God's going to do in the new thing area for you this year and on a daily basis is going to be for you. It may not be for your wife. It may not be for your husband. It may not be for your kids. It may not be for your best friend. It may not be for anybody else. But you're going to go, whoa. You're going to behold. You're going to stand in awe and be amazed. The second thing is he's calling us to come out of the ordinary. If God calls us to come out of the ordinary, remember the from something to something? If we're going to come out of ordinary, where are we going to go? Got any guesses? To the extraordinary. This is, I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be some positive, motivational speaker up here. I'm just trying to tell you what the Word of God says, that he takes you out of the ordinary into the extraordinary. I look at my life, you look at your life before you got saved. Some of you, you think you were conceived in the church, for crying out loud. You've been in the church so long. So your change in life wasn't as dramatic as maybe some others. Some of you, it was from day to night. You were saved about like Paul was. You got knocked off of your horse, and God said, quit messing with me. Give your life to me. That's the way it was. And you went from something to something. Because he's calling us out of this old into the new, and he's going to call us out of the ordinary into the extraordinary. He wants to give you something that is fabulous and incredible. He's going to take you out of the ordinary of captivity, the status quo, the same old stuff, and give you something that is brand new that only God can give. The third thing is this. He wants you to rise above your limits. Every one of us, unofficially, and some of us officially, we're constantly talking about our limitations. We're talking about, well, how much money we don't have. We're talking about how hard things are. We're talking about how frustrated we are. We're talking about how confined we are. We're talking about how long it's been. And all of these other, those are words just qualifying. Once again, this is our limitation. I'll never go above here. I'll never get beyond here. My prayers will never go beyond here. Boom, boom, boom. My life will never be more than this, this, this. And God says, you know what? I want you to rise above your limits because I'm a limitless God. Remember what the Bible says? With God, nothing is impossible. Do you really believe that? It's okay if you have to force yourself to believe it because the world doesn't want you to think that. The world wants you to think that God is dead, God's done, God's over. But God has said, listen, I'm still here. Next thing is he's asking us to see and respond to his purposes in our life. God has a reason he wants to take you to somewhere. He has a purpose for your life. We're fixing to get into the core values of the church starting next Sunday. The reason we want to communicate those things is so we can put them into practice. You know why? Because those are going to be reflective of the purpose that God has for the church. God has a purpose for us to be here. God says, you know what? My purpose isn't for you to be good boys and girls. Come here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, give in the tithe, you know, and don't cuss anybody out. That's not his purpose. His purpose is much, much bigger than that. Don't you want to be a part of that? I know the answer is yes, but how? Behold, I am going to do a new thing. That's how. The last thing is this. To behold what he has done. To behold. I keep coming back to that word because it's so important. But not only what God has done, more importantly, what he is doing. And he's going to continue to do. You know what? Sometimes we have this, the problem with goals. As you set a goal, if you reach a goal, a lot of people just stop right there. I'm done. You want to graduate high school? Great. You're going to graduate high school? Boom, you're done. I'm going to get a college education. You get a college education? Boom, you're done. You know, I was like that. And the reason for that is that I grew up in South Alabama. There wasn't anything going on. No one in my family had ever gone to college. I was just on this track. That's exactly what I was going to do. I was going to get married, get a double wide. We were going to have kids. That's just what everybody else modeled. And guess what happened? One day, I met a person named Jesus Christ, and he changed my life. Looking at that, I'll never forget, about 2 years before I met Jesus, there was a good friend of my dad. He said, Dave, are you going to go to college? And I said, no, sir, I don't plan on it. He goes, why not? I said, I'm just going to, you know, graduate high school, and, you know, I'm going to just get a job. He said, you need to go to college. I said, why? He said, because the best friends you will ever meet for the rest of your life are the people that you'll meet in college. I'm like, no way, man. My high school friends, this is my buddies. You got to be kidding me. There's nobody closer than me and my friends. I got saved. Years later, I find myself graduating from college. Guess who I met in college? I met my wife in college. I got some of the best friends in the world I still have in college. I mean, the people that I would say, you know, I haven't seen them in 5,000 years. Yes, I am that old. But we talk on the phone, and it's like it was yesterday. I said, well, that guy's, his comments were true. Are you kidding me? This is God saying, listen, I got more to do. I got more that I want to be in you. I'm going to continue doing it. You know what this is called? It's called vision. It's called purpose. And it's called hope. If you're looking for hope for the new year of 2017, it's found in what God is saying. Let me ask you something. Did you get up this morning expecting God to do a new thing in your life? Ask yourself that question. Because it can be a condemning question. It doesn't mean that you're negative. But you know what? It's amazing how that has to be introduced to us a time again and again and again. Because the life we live in the normal life, I'm talking about not the spiritual life, but the normal life you live, got to get up, got to get dressed, got to go to school. I got to, whatever that was. Was that an earthquake? Nothing shaked. But you know, we get up and we do all these things and we just fall into this routine. But how cool would it if we really, really got excited and every day we woke up and we said, God, what are you going to do new in my life today? How cool is that? I hope that God will bring that expectation into your life. It may seem overwhelming to ask that, especially under the circumstances that we currently live. But I want you to take courage and be ready for God to do a new thing. Right now, this is easy to say, but literally, can you just take a second and literally say, God, is that possible? That preacher up there is saying that, but is that possible? Is he just trying to sell me a bit of goods because he's up there in the pulpit? Is this just something that he put in his sermon so it would sound good during a Sunday morning sermon? Or is this you? Is this the God that we're supposed to be serving? Do you give us those expectations? Can you deliver on that? I challenge you. I challenge you to take God up on that and see if he won't answer that. Isaiah 43:19, I will even make a road in the wilderness and a river in the desert. Listen, you look at the natural and it ain't there. I know that's bad English, but it sounds pretty good. It ain't there. It's not possible. It's not going to happen. It hadn't happened, so it's not going to happen, right? But our God says something different. I will make a path through that wilderness, that horrible, difficult path you've been on. I'll make rivers in that desert that you're living in. Matter of fact, I love what he says here in John the 7th chapter, verse 38. This is Jesus. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me in this way. God has positioned us so that He can refresh us, and He can provide for us, and He can do things for us, to give us brand new roads that we haven't even seen, don't even exist, places of nourishment and water spiritually that we're not even thinking about. God says there's much more on the horizon. There's so much more that lies ahead. And we have to make the difficult choice. Do we want to muster up all of our spiritual integrity and trust God for that, or just see if it'll happen? I promise you, if you take a see if it'll happen attitude, you'll either be late to the party or you'll miss the boat. I promise you. But if you will get ahead of this and start looking, you'll be one of the first ones on the horizon. You'll be one of the first ones to see it coming. Don't be discouraged by the bumps in the road, the detours in our path. Hey, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to try to throw you off. Some of it's going to be emotional. Some of it's going to be physical. You may leave here right now and you go, yippee, I was all excited, and some news comes your way that knocks you down a notch or so. But you know what? You may take a step back, but God doesn't mean that God's not going to do something. He's going to keep going. Don't be discouraged. Don't let the past define your future. Continue to trust and put your faith in God and look for that new thing that's in the wilderness. I love the verse of Scripture in the Bible that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I like that for two reasons. Number one, I trust my eyes pretty good, don't you? I trust my eyes. God says, I want you to use your spiritual eyes. Because I can choose what I want to look at. I can choose the way I want to look at it. Remember what I said a little while ago? Turn to your neighbor, and instead of saying something, just interpret what do you think they're looking at you and what they're thinking. Because you get to choose, don't you? But what God wants us to do as we go forward is to choose through the eyes of the Spirit as to what He wants us to see. Taste and see what He's doing in your life, what He's doing in this church, what He's doing in this world, because He's still doing things. Let me share two scriptures with you before I leave. Jeremiah 32. Ah, sovereign Lord, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for God. Okay, here comes the repeat part. Say it with me. Nothing is too hard for God. Now, those words rolled off your lips. I hope that they'll take some time and root in your spirit. You show love to thousands, but bring the punishment of the parents' sins into the laps of their children after them. Uh-oh. That made our parents step up a little bit and be responsible, didn't it? Great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord Almighty, great are Your purposes, mighty are Your deeds. Now there goes the behold part. Stand back and be amazed at what God is going to do. Your eyes are open to the ways of all mankind. You reward each person according to their conduct and as their deeds deserve. And I'm going to go to Ephesians and borrow Paul's prayer and pray this prayer for all of us. Paul, praying for the Ephesians, he says, I pray that out of His glorious riches, let's read this slow so we remember, out of His glorious riches, that He may strengthen you with the power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, here it comes, may have power. I don't know about you, but I am tired of being powerless. I get frustrated when the power goes out in my house. I hate when the battery's dead in my car. He says that you may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. We're talking about standing, beholding, being in awe of what He's doing and forecasting this new thing. Listen, when we really look at it, he's saying, listen, you're going to be able to just fathom how huge this thing is. Big, wide, deep, you name it. And to know His love through the surpassing knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now, here we go. To Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Here's a great thing I'd like to challenge you with for the new year. Start thinking about the things out of the box that you would never imagine and see if God can't trump that. Go beyond the normal. Now listen, I understand you have to work with these parameters. You only have so much, but how cool is it? Can't God do much, much more than we even think? Now here, I'm a pastor, and I'm supposed to be saying these things. Right, Brother Owens? You better say yes, please. Back me up real quick, okay? The sad thing is he doesn't know what I'm going to say next. Yeah. But I look at this church, and I'm going, Father, just by the empty spaces, and not because it's New Year's Day, but any other time, I'm going, there are so many more people that need to be touched by the Lord Jesus Christ in this community. God, could you use this church as an instrument of your love? Could we be the funnel, the conduit, if you will, to reach others, and this place be packed because of the power of your Holy Spirit? May we be reintroducing this year a word that we've used time and time again in the past. It's called revival. It's called renew. It's called this resurgence of a spiritual move of God. Can we go back to Acts, the 4th chapter, where they prayed in such dynamic fashion that literally the building shook, and it's not because something happened out there in the central part of Oklahoma. It's because the Holy Spirit visited this place and knocked us off our foundation. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Because according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations forever and ever. And join me in saying, Amen.